Have you ever wanted to delve into the writings of the early church fathers, but didn't know where to begin? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's our book of the month for December, A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. You can find out more at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Year with the Church Fathers, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues Etc. The Church of the Reformation is remembering Katie Luther on this day, wife of the famous 16th century reformer Martin Luther. She had her part in the Reformation as well, and her relationship with Luther, that of becoming his wife eventually after serving in a nunnery for some part of her life, really would not have occurred without the 16th century Reformation. Joining us to talk about Katie Luther, Dr. Cameron McKenzie, professor and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. McKenzie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, hi, Todd. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
One of the remarkable things about these two people, Katie and Martin, is how much their lives paralleled one another before the Reformation. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I sure will. I mean, I think probably most of your listeners, at least those who are at all familiar with Luther's life, know how to many in the 16th century, a monk marrying a nun must have been really scandalous. But what you need to realize is that the whole system of becoming a monk or becoming a nun was based upon false religious premises, and when those false religious premises were uncovered, then people like Martin Luther and Catherine von Bora rightfully left the places to which they'd been assigned. So both Martin and Catherine had joined religious orders and had taken permanent, lifelong vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience in order that they might serve God in a special way, which the medieval church taught was a superior way to that of ordinary Christians. And the idea was that if you wanted to minimize your purgatory time and you wanted to get into heaven as soon as possible, your best bet was to devote yourself to God in, well, if you were a woman as a nun, and if you were a man as a monk. There was a big difference between the two, however, between Martin and Catherine, in that Martin was already grown up when he personally decided to become a monk, whereas Catherine, as was typical of her class, she came from German nobility. She was just put into the nunnery by her parents. Well, actually, not by her mother who died, but by her father. And then some years later, when she was a teenager, she took permanent vows, presumably on the basis of her free will, but she really didn't have any option. So there was a difference in the way that the two actually ended up in a religious order.
Were they of different orders, of different disciplines?
Yes. You know, we frequently describe Luther as a monk, but technically he was not a monk. He was a friar. His order, the Augustinian Hermits, were a mendicant order, and that means that they had kind of a mission to service in the church. They were founded in the late Middle Ages. They were in urban areas. They had an academic wing. Monks were really the older religious movement, identified especially with Saint Benedict. And the job of a monk was basically to separate yourself from the world, not to serve in the world by teaching or acts of mercy or anything like that, but to separate yourself from the world in order to devote yourself to a life of prayer. And Catherine actually was a nun And her order was similar to the Benedictines. If memory serves me correctly, she might have been a Cistercian, which was a kind of a break-off or a reform movement in the Benedictine order. So she didn't have a job of teaching or running a hospital or anything like that. Her job was basically to stay inside the walls of a convent and to pray for all of her life.
So how did she go from being a nun in a convent to being Martin Luther's wife?
Yeah. Well, now there are parts of this story that, I don't know, and I'm not sure if anybody knows. But in the early years of the Reformation, apparently information about Luther and Luther's teachings made it into the convent. Either some of those who had responsibility for preaching and teaching there, or else some of the literature that Luther and the Lutherans produced made their way into the convent. So that Catherine and several others of her fellow nuns read these materials, became convinced that God had called them to freedom in the gospel, not to a life of artificial religiosity, that the forgiveness of sins was free in Christ and not dependent upon works, as a result of which they wanted to get out of the convent and lead more meaningful lives of service to God in secular vocations as wives and mothers and the like. And there was a merchant who was a friend of Luther's and from Torgau who served the convent where Catherine lived. And accordingly, when Catherine and about a dozen of these nuns let it be known to Luther's friend, his name was Leonard Kopp or Koppa, that they were looking for a way out, Luther gave advice to Kopp, and Kopp helped the ladies plan their escape from the convent. This was, I believe, in 1524, 1525. What he was a merchant, and part of what he sold was herring, which was carried in great big barrels, and so he regularly brought to the convent a big horse-drawn cart covered with barrels and other forms of merchandise. And on one occasion, just around Easter it was, he helped to help to the ladies to sneak out of the convent onto his cart, you know, hide themselves in amongst the ware. Sometimes it's said that they even hid themselves in the herring barrels. I'm not sure that that's true, but nonetheless, hid themselves and got them out of the convent and took them off to, well, finally ended up in Wittenberg, where they were given refuge and then time. Months during which they could kind of sort out their lives and figure out what they were going to do.
Now, she goes from being a nun to being a wife. Was this? I understand that part of what Luther was doing on the side was dealing with a lot of former priests or priests
and
nuns who were in this predicament.
Right, right. And the well, the men were a little better off because if you were a former if you were a priest, then to one extent or another, you already had a job in the church. And so you were free then to marry and to have children, but you, in a sense, didn't have to look for employment. If you were a monk, then you had to find something else to do besides being being a monk. But among other options, there was that of becoming a Lutheran pastor. And so monks could move into the ministry fairly easily. But what are you going to do if you're a former nun? That was problematical. Lots of times, women had been shipped off by their families in the first place to a nunnery because their families did not have the resources to arrange good marriages for them. So this was an alternative to that. Now that they're out of the convent, the family doesn't have any more resources. In Catherine's case, her parents were both dead. She did come from minor nobility, but that didn't mean anything if you didn't have a lot of property, and they didn't have a lot of property, so it was not a well-off family. And her family really couldn't, figure out what to do with her. So what Luther and his colleagues tried to do then for these women was to find good marriages for them. And they were successful with the ladies that escaped with Catherine. There were, as I said, about a dozen of them. Three of them were taken back by their families. Nine others came to Wittenberg. They arranged marriages for some of them. Others became governesses until only Catherine was left. So what was going to become of her? Well, they tried to arrange one marriage between her and a Wittenberg student, but that fell through, and probably fell through because the student's family didn't think it was all that great that their son was going to be marrying a former nun. Then Luther proposed another man as a possible husband. He was actually an academic, former rector at the University of Wittenberg, but he had a reputation for being miserly, and so Catherine wasn't interested in him either. So now what? Well, Catherine had a fateful conversation with one of Luther's friends, Nicholas von Amsdorf. And she indicated to von Amsdorf that since she couldn't stand the man who had been proposed, she would take either Amsdorf or Luther himself as her husband. Turned out that it was Luther. He contemplated it, thought it over, and finally decided to marry her. That was in 1525.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Katie Luther, the wife of 16th century reformer Martin Luther. What was their life together as husband and wife and father and mother like?
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to delve into the writings of the early church fathers, but didn't know where to begin? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's our book of the month for December, A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. You can find out more at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Year with the Church Fathers, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Katie Luther, remembered by the Reformation Church on this day, wife of 16th century reformer Martin Luther. Dr. Cameron McKenzie is our guest. Folks, we've got 10 days left in this year, 2011, And if you appreciate Issues Etc., Real Reformation Radio, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a gift online securely at our website, issuesetc.org. You can make a gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And as a way of saying thanks, we'll send you a CD with two of my sermons, one on Christmas and the other on the baptism of Jesus. We're currently almost $19,000 short of making budget this year. Our listener has been very generous helping us close that gap, but we still need to close that $19,000 gap in the next 10 days. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider the end of year and your giving. Dr. McKenzie, you brought us up to the point where they married. What was their life together as husband and wife like?
Yeah. Well, their life together was a good one. Luther did what Luther did, preach, teach, talk, write letters, write treatises, all on behalf of the Reformation, while Catherine managed his temporal affairs. Managed the household, managed expenses, raised livestock, and did all the gardening, etc., in order to keep the household going. They had six children altogether, although a couple of them died when they were still quite young. And in addition to the children, they had all kinds of other people living with them. In the old monastery, the elector had made sure that that was used as Luther's home, and she rented out rooms to students in order to, increase their income. But they had relatives, they had friends, colleagues, all kind of there all the time. So it was a big household that Catherine had to provide for and to manage, and she did. We do have letters between them, which are really quite affectionate. And also examples from the table talk where Luther says things like, I would not exchange my Katie for France or for Venice because God has given her to me. And then he adds, and other women have worse faults. So they really had a good marriage.
So how did she die? She died after Luther, of course, but how did she die?
Yeah.
It's a rather tragic story.
Yeah, it is a sad story. She was traveling, leaving, I've got to get this right, precisely where she was traveling to. I think she was traveling to Torgau. There had been problems during the Schmalkald War, as a result of which she'd had to leave Wittenberg and the like. And she was in economic hard times. She had a terrible injury while they were traveling. If I remember correctly, it was something like the cart in which she was traveling collapsed, and she was injured. She didn't die right away, but they got her to Torgau, where she lingered for some time, and then finally passed away.
So, finally, on the subject of this woman who is really famous because of her famous reformer husband. How important do you think Katie Luther was to the 16th century Reformation herself?
Oh, I think she was absolutely essential. It's not always the case that behind every great man there stands a good wife, but it is most often the case. And that certainly is true here with Martin Luther. Yes, he had done a lot of things before he got married, but by marrying Catherine, Luther not only experienced how wonderful God's gift of marriage is to a pastor and to anybody else for that matter, but also it was of great practical importance for him that he did not have to worry about, in a sense, taking care of himself physically. She did all that. And she also brought him children, which were a tremendous joy to him. Really, the Luthers came to exemplify what a good Christian marriage is. And that was one of the important lessons of the Reformation. The medieval church had turned its back upon marriage by exalting the celibate life in monasteries and so forth. But the Protestant Reformation showed what a wonderful gift marriage is to human beings, that God has established it from the time of creation. And, you know, I think it's a lesson that we need to learn again these days. But Luther not only talked it, he exhibited it. And, of course, Catherine exhibiting it also right there with him.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie is professor and chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. McKenzie, thanks for your time.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it. Have a Merry Christmas, you guys.